Blog Talk Radio.
Rap to you real quick. I wanna enjoy the luxury of like not knowing each other for real. Hold up.
Lotus flower bound, firefly. When I'm low, you take me high. I can teach you all the sounds of love.
Flower bomb, let me guess your favorite fragrance, and you got that bomb. I'm trying to detonate you, no disrespecting, baby, just trying to make you smile. Try to keep my spirits up, that's why I lay this down. Try to keep your spirits up, little vodka, whatever. Took it forever to get dressed, I acknowledge your effort. So I clap for her, she deserves an applause. Shawty working so hard, she deserves that baton. Shawty wear your baton, racing through my mind like she heard that, I got that work, I heard that she been on strike. Care to tell, I read your mind, she been on them dollars first. Caramel, macchiatos when shawty get in the work. I can be your boyfriend, be your nigga or a friend with perks. I'm just trying to work that, they just trying to work your nerves. I'm just trying to read your mind, I'm just trying to feed you mine. I'm just trying to give you light, they just trying to.
In a fantasy, I feel it when you dance with me. It's feeling like you need to be my lady, my baby, yeah. Can't you see, I'm talking about eternity. Tell me, would you care to be my lady, my baby?
Flower bomb, can I blow up on your mind? This is not no Sandra Bull, but your potion number nine, navigating through her eyes, destination to her thighs. And I hate to tell you too much, cause I stay with too much pride. And we way too young to know love, maybe not, but we don't need no rush. Don't believe in love at first sight, but believe in love at first. Can I be with you just one night? I can wear you out inside. I can tell you like persistence, but I make you come and try. I just think we need one night, can't decide if I can't right. Easy baby, my thing tight, but that lotus flower just ain't right. I ain't thinking I ain't right, can't decide but I can't fight. Easy baby, you the bomb and all, but I be damned if I do not land mine. Or at least try, can I speak up, or the peace out? Can we eat lunch, can we take shots with your flavor? Flat drinks, we call 8 cups. I just think I need one night, slightly more if it's done right. With that gorgeous face, I don't know your name, it ain't important, babe, cause I'ma call you mine.
A fantasy, I feel it when you dance with me. It's feeling like you need to be my lady, my baby. Talking about eternity. Tell me, would you care to be my lady, my baby? Don't know me, don't know me. I keep thinking this is on me. Don't know me, don't know me. Let me teach you all the stuff.
The devil was trying to stop our old Negro spirituals, but we won't let him get us down on the Black Male Show. Tonight, we are talking about being trans, Black, and all of that. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, we got to thank the folks who allow us to be on the radio. This is a Stan Omni Media production. If you don't know anything about Stan Omni Media, you are way behind. Take the opportunity, get familiar with them on Facebook, and check out the new website to be released this month. We are also sister shows to the Capital T Show, and we are excited to have the host as our guest this evening. We are a sister, brother, sibling show to the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay, which made its season premiere this past Sunday. We are also in affiliation and partner with Andre's Asylum, Strong Black Brother out of ACL, you hear us. We are excited to be premiering Gentle Women's Quarter real soon for y'all who are more than excited to be a part of it. And there is so much more coming from the Stan Omni Media
team. Be on the lookout for some new stuff from our partners, Eve for Eve Online, the premier dating site for lesbians. It's a great site to be on. I'm not saying I know personally, but I am saying I know. So if you are interested, find out about them, www.eve4eveonline.com. Same thing on your Facebook and your Twitter. Yes, y'all, we got sponsors like nobody's business. You ready for it? You're not ready. We'll wait. Are you ready for it? Still not? Okay. I am Simply Nay, author of Successfully Single, Confessions of a Professional Dater, took the opportunity to also sponsor this show. So we want you to take the opportunity to buy the book. 9 chapters of awesome about everything you need to know about being a professional dater and seeing if you are successfully single. Those are our sponsors. We love them long time. We thank them for jumping out there and being a part of the Black Male Show. And if you feel like you want to sponsor the Black Male Show or any other Stand On My Media show, please take the opportunity to reach out to us. Send us an email at standonmymedia@gmail.com and include sponsorship in the subject line. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. Black Mama, we see you. Are you in the building, though?
I'm here. I'm always here.
Front and hallelujah. Is the Rev present and accounted for?
The Rev is present and accounted for.
That's everything, y'all. So we started off with a little bit of Lotus Flower Balm, a little bit of Throwback Wednesday. Love me a bit of Wale, but that's just me. We have our guest present and waiting, and we are going to bring her on after one more song, y'all. I just wanted the folks to know y'all was in the building, and we will be back shortly, very shortly. Don't I sound like the Lady Reason Church announcement, y'all? Shortly.
Yeah. You do sound like the announcer Sunday morning.
We're going to have interdiction. We're going to have an A-B selection. I didn't know there was a sir in selection. We're going to have an A-B selection. And then after this A-B selection, we're going to hear from our mistress of ceremony. Y'all can't do nothing with me. Saint Beauty Band going nowhere on the Black Male Show.
Hands in the air, like I don't care, running free to be me, going nowhere. We're lying down, right beside, don't make a sound, enjoy.
Y'all, I really think that's the only reason I like that song, y'all. I really think, I mean, they be saying some deep shit, though. I invite everybody to Google the lyrics of St. Beauty Band going nowhere. It says so much. Somebody's TV is so loud. TV something.
That's not
a, just bring
that's
it
definitely
down
not a TV.
Nights.
That is the Rev who's sitting in the airport.
Oh, yes. The Rev.
So that's the announcer's letting us know it's getting time to board.
The Rev knows people and goes places. Ain't no bullshitting around here. But we are pleased to welcome Miss Anarchy Monroe. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm lovely, darling. Welcome, welcome.
You sound so sophisticated.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. This is what it's like when I didn't get a nut, so all the hood rat is trapped somewhere. I love it.
No, ma'am. Not all the hood rat is trapped somewhere. I can't.
Oh,
I cannot.
Y'all forgot. Oh, you forgot to warn them about how I am. Like
We don't do warnings. No Stand Omni Media shows present any warnings at any time. We have clear, organic conversation. We don't even screen our guests.
Can we go with orgasm instead of organic? Because I could use one. I'm going to get one right after this interview. Like.
Right after this interview. So we have exclusive from
everybody
else. Herself.
You got
to get
exclusive.
After this show. So we want
it'll
like,
be all over my Snapchat.
For folks who ain't on Google, folks, you know, just don't know how to use the internet these days. That's not something they're interested in doing. Can you please tell the folks a bit about yourself, your art, and your activism?
So my name is Anarchy Monroe. I am an author. I'm an established musician. I'm an adult entertainer. You can Google me, all my music, as well as articles I've written or been involved with. I'm a YouTuber. I've been traveling the country for years now, travel internationally. I'm a public speaker, an award-winning civil rights activist. I'm a mentor. I've worked with hundreds of at-risk youth. I run my own nonprofit called the Get Naked Movement, in which we work with at-risk youth. We provide condoms and lubricants and safe sex toys and advice for all who are needed. We also give clothes away to the homeless and to low-income housing. We do a lot of things involving the communities that people choose to neglect, and we partnered up with organizations like the HIV Alliance to go out to the communities to do needle exchange program. And that's just a small synopsis of the things that I do or have been involved with.
Well, damn if you don't do a lot.
Goodness gracious.
And
yeah.
She can find partridges in your pear tree if you need it. So I want to get into it. Like, we're fresh into Women's History Month. We just came out of Black History Month. Why is it important that we, a team of cisgender identified hosts, have this conversation on our show focused around the Black community?
Because we got to understand the intersectionalities of the struggle and how we can look at throughout history, especially since the civil rights movement had started back in the days of MLK and Malcolm X, how they have strategically tried to separate the LGBTQ community from the Black community. Because after a time, the Black Panthers and all associated with realized that the struggle with being lesbian, being queer, being bisexual, being gay, being transgender, asexual, and gender variant, everything included was a part of that struggle because we are all a part of the same community. And the minute they separated us out and decided that we should no longer work together or be a part of these groups together, is the minute they strategically had us warring against each other. I really believe it was a strategic plan to separate the community. It's to keep us divided and warring against each other instead of fighting together to achieve a higher goal and a higher state of consciousness, which means that we all have the power, we all have the ability to be free, and we should all be fighting for freedom together, for equality and human rights. And the minute we get distracted from similar common goals is the minute that we are no longer a solidified unit against people like Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Damn.
So we need our cisgender brothers and sisters to speak up, because what happens is when we start speaking up, we get looked at like the other. You know, it's like one thing being black. You know, all of a sudden you're the angry black woman, you're the angry black person. And then when you're queer, or, you know, however you identify, that is not, you know, heteronormative. For those who don't know what heteronormative means, it means you don't pass for a cisgendered heterosexual person. You don't pass for what mainstream says is socially acceptable. The minute we start doing that, we're looked at as an angry queer, and we're more apt to be targeted and threatened and beat and hung and thrown into alleyways, and our bodies not be found, and then be misgendered, where we are found in the media and talk like we're second-class citizens, and all of a sudden we've been forgotten, or they all of a sudden can't identify us by who we are, by our current name, how we want to be established. So we need each other in order to refocus and to strategize and to get our mission across, which is just human rights and civil rights and equality for all.
Absolutely. So, the question is, how do you do it?
Go ahead, yeah. What is the question? How do you do it? And I'll ask for some examples. Like, we have the black mom on our show. So for other black mothers, what does that look like in raising their children to be acceptant of gender nonconforming community?
Well, basically, we got to die to this notion. I don't care what your religious background is or what you believe. You have to die to the notion that your beliefs and values override someone else's personal definition of self. I think in this era that a lot of black communities have come out of Christianity in terms of backdrop, in terms of where they've been rooted in. And so for a lot of this, over the last couple hundred years, this I don't know how to exactly say it. I would say demonized Christianity, where you feel like you need to oppress me, or you feel like you need to tell me about who I am. And it's very colonial and very militant. And you feel like you have to tell me who or what I am or what I should be or should not be doing. First, if you remember the basics that you want your others as you want them to do unto you, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, if you realize that you got a log in your own eye before you have to try to pick out a needle in somebody else's, you will first recognize that you want to be respected. You want to be loved. You want to be accepted for who you are as an individual being. Therefore, you should extend that same grace that you want to have for you to the next person. It's called empathy. And the minute you can empathize with someone else's struggle, and especially as people of color, you should be able to empathize with being treated like a second-class citizen, being targeted for being different, being targeted for something that you can't control, being targeted for just being yourself. You know, those are simple things that you can integrate into teaching your children about just simply being respectful and teaching them that it's okay to stand up for others when others are being bullied and put down. Because it does, just because I see my Latino or my Islamic brothers and sisters, my Muslim brothers and sisters, when I see them and they're being picked on, I'm going to stand up and say what's right, you know what I'm saying? Because they're my brothers and sisters in the struggle, and I empathize with what they're going through. And if we don't stand together in that gap, that is where we all begin to fall apart.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, because our kids seem so desensitized and cold nature. It's almost like the sweetness that's about a baby is almost gone in our community.
Yes. It is. It's, we've been so desensitized due to, I would like to say, you know, years. I mean, hundreds of years of oppression. When you are told that your hair isn't good enough, your skin tone isn't beautiful, that your color of your eyes isn't enough, that you need to be lighter, your skin needs to be less kinky. I mean, your hair needs to be less kinky and straighter, and that, you know, everything about you in society's eyes, in mainstream society's eyes, is not good enough. It begins this process of self-hatred, and you want to find ways to survive or ways to make you feel good about yourself. So we start to destroy things about ourselves, about our identity, our lineage, and our heritage, and acclimate to the sound of the oppressor. And many times we don't even recognize we're doing it. You know, I recognized it when all of a sudden I grew up, and when I was starting to go through my transition, and I was like, wait a minute, my hair is not straight like all these other people. I thought something was going to happen. My hair was going to be thick. And I was like, oh, my God, wait a minute. That's not how the majority of our hair naturally is. And that's when the light bulb went off. I was like, oh, my God, this is all weave and hair extensions and wigs. Like, this is what I see on TV. And I wanted to bring it back to home base and be like, oh, my God, what do I do to define that my black is beautiful? And also with that came the fight for us to see that we are people, we are human beings, and that we deserve life. And years of being beaten down and told, no, you're not good enough. You are subhuman. You are, you know, one-tenth of a human being or half of a human being. You are not worth that. Those values have been poured over us, and we've accepted that. We've accepted that we weren't good enough instead of finding the value within ourselves and in choosing to fight with those values and those ethics. And I believe as long as we keep subjecting ourselves to these religious standards that aren't real and aren't spiritual, that aren't uplifting, that aren't life-giving, life-affirming, that we're going to continue to subjugate ourselves to this mass genocide of self-hatred and delusion.
Shit got all the way real. I want to turn it over to the Black Rev before we have to go. Like, you have a level of spiritual experience that we other folk here don't have and we don't claim. So I wanted you to speak on, ask questions about, give insight on how the church plays a role in transphobia and the violence that is forward against the trans community.
I don't know who's noisy in the background, but I can definitely say this, that me coming out of a religious cult, coming out of religious institutions, that the subjugating and separation and, you know, that whole work of putting everybody in these boxes and saying that they're not good enough and saying that there's something wrong with you, even from the womb, that there's something wrong with you and that you need to be changed is contrary to the very words of Christ. And we have to understand that no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, that you are valuable, that you are beautiful, and that you are loved, and you deserve hope in a future. And that's what you should be believing in. And sometimes you got to war against your own mind. You have to war against your oppressors and the things that they have said to you in order to find you're beautiful.
So I thank you for that. I would like, I just didn't know if anybody was asking a question of me or if I was going to get to speak for myself or what I'm about to say, because I can take a minute and back and let it be had. Because I do think we have to be mindful that there are different types of theologies that exist out. The one that you just reflected is only one of them. And so acknowledging the households that come out of the New Testament in Paul, where he's naming the male as the household who should, you know, love his wife as Christ loved the church, it sets up a hierarchical dynamic for how family should be had or how we should approach building a family unit or what that looks like. And unfortunately, the indoctrination of a lot of people over time has not acknowledged what that is. And so as it relates to the institution, I do believe that it has some repentance to do.
as it relates to how we affirm people who are different, as it relates to how we show empathy and sympathy, how we engage people in the various natures of who we are. And so I definitely agree that all people should be affirmed as children of God. I do think that when we look at the intersectional culture of where the Black church fits into this, there are several other pieces that may or may not be being acknowledged. And so for me, the one thing that I think is incumbent upon the trans community is to be open to helping foster understanding for people who do not understand, those who identify in their life. And what I have seen in my own experience, because I pastor a reconciling church, and when I say reconciling, that means we accept all people, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, people of all races, all socioeconomic classes, whoever you are, wherever you are welcome. And that's the message that we send. And so what I have seen is that there is almost this angst or this anger that is associated with the trans community wanting to be accepted, to the point that it seems sometimes like bullying to cultures who do not understand. Not even that it's a point of rejection immediately, but a lack of knowledge. And with lack of knowledge, you will have misunderstanding. And so it's the more that we can teach people, that we can share stories that people can identify with, that will help bring us closer together. And so
we have a
I
lot
think
of
all of these... I'm in the airport. You have to forgive me. So I'm about to say I'll leave it there and let that be that.
I would like to – I want to say something to that, though, with all due respect. And there's two things you said that I find that are just kind of iffy. But the last one was the most important one. Why is there a lot of hostility, though? A lot of hostility when it comes to the church is because the mind frame of the church isn't acceptance. The mind frame of the church is let me save you and fix you. Let us choose what we think is wrong with you and then try to fix that thing that we feel is wrong with you and then leave you out to the wolves. That's what the majority of churches are like. It's not like, hey, let's build a relationship with each other. Let's get to know each other. Let's be life-affirming, identity-affirming, allow you to come and find your own way. It's you need to do this and you need to do it now or else you can leave us the hell alone or you will burn in hell.
But that goes back to what I said in the beginning, that multiple theologies. So that's one theology that you are espousing at this point. It doesn't, it's not a universal theology for the entire Christian church. I mean, when you go back and you look at from Catholicism, how many denominations come out of Protestantism, all of these denominations have various theologies that affirm different things. And so that has to be acknowledged as well.
It does. I'm not. You just asked a question, and so I was giving you a point of reference of why a lot of people are the way they are, why they can be hostile, why they seem angry, why they're so demanding of being accepted and respected for who they are. We got to understand the Black Panthers had the same mentality as well. You're going to respect me for who I am. You're going to respect me for the struggle that I've been through, and you're not going to diminish that. And so sometimes, I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong. I'm not coming against your framework of thought. I'm just saying that sometimes in the midst of being oppressed and fighting so much that a lot of misplaced anger can happen because all you've had to do was fight for your entire life. You had to fight against your community, maybe even your family. You even had to fight with yourself in order to come to a place of freedom, only to realize you still got to fight the rest of the world to live. And you just might still
becomes,
be killed just living your life.
But the question then becomes is how does that foster unity? How does that misplaced anger or that angst begin to bring us together from a framework of being able to understand and be empathetic
empathy.
To one another? So, but again, empathy
well,
comes from
a lot
understanding.
Of that, like I said, it's empathy in the terms of like a lot of people have to understand that not everybody in the church is the enemy.
I would agree. That's a good starting place because when you look at everybody as the enemy, then it gets to a point, well, if this is what you already think of me, regardless of my openness, we're going to still be heads because of your approach. And
well,
so I'm just trying to figure out how we get to a place where we where we create unity and understanding as opposed to disdain, because all that's going to do is create more fractures.
But see, the issue is, until the church as an entity understands that it's supposed to be the hands and feet and eyes of the Creator, it's supposed to be the living expression of the hand of the Creator, you know, the mouth of the Creator, until the church recognizes that, the problem is going to be that y'all are constantly warring at us because there's no empathy, there's no understanding, there's no shut up and listen to my story. The minute a lot of these church leaders and organizations, not every single one, but a lot of them, until they learn to sit back, shut up, and just listen, just like we have to tell cisgender people or we have to tell our white counterparts, you have to listen to my story. You have to hear my struggle. You have to hear me, not just with your mind, but with your heart and feel. I need a whole body experience for you to get to the point where you see that what I have been through has fucked me up on a fundament, and all I need for you to do is care. And when that need is, you know, that pain is relieved, then that opens up the door of communication for the church to say, this is what we have felt from your community. Because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, it's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of scrutiny on both ends. But the church is supposed to be the bigger man.
I definitely agree. But then the question becomes, how do you build on, if you can identify that every church does not hold this position, how do you then build on the churches who are creating coalitions with HRC and with other organizations who are affirming to the entire LGBTQ community? Because we can continue to focus on
what are you doing. What are you doing in those communities?
And it's just building a relationship to help me. I don't mean to cut in, but, like, to be real, I'm not going to do a something. If we created other
She's
safe spaces,
up, so I can't hear
like,
her.
If we had created other safe spaces like your church, Rev, where folks can come as they are, then that would be a safe space to say that HRC does not really represent the intersections of the LGBTQI community.
Yes.
I have learned, and it's only because I had to reconcile the subcultures that have bled into who I am as an individual, that every church is not organized religion. But in trying to sift through and deal with a lot of the trauma I've experienced as a cisgender lesbian woman of color, as a cisgender black lesbian woman, I can only imagine what that shit looks like to be trans. And out of my own phobias and the sort of exile I have felt through what I have experienced, I've made it my business since before there was a Laverne Cox to point to be a presence and a force for, you know, the trans community, and to leverage my privilege in the way that we as black people hope white people would one day show up for us. And I have received so much feedback about, one, how do you know so many trans black people? Two, how do you know so many trans people? Three, how do you know so many trans people from so many different areas? And my thing is, and my response always is, how do you not? It's not like Harry Potter,
right,
where there are muggles and then witches on the 9.5 platform getting on the train. Like, we all coexist. And so I'm looking for real our community leaders, as I consider myself one and hold myself accountable to that, because I've been placed in that role so many times. So really, the same way we failed to get a hold of the AIDS epidemic and that shit is still rampantly killing us because churches wanted to give out condoms or choose not to, but didn't want to talk about other methods of infection. That's the same shit we're doing to the gay community now. We're allowing our kids to die from ex-gay therapy, be it formal or informal. We're allowing our trans women to be killed by heterosexual men who don't understand that you're not gay because you love a trans woman. We are allowing trans women to come to church and sit in drag and not acknowledge their existence. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just a church thing. It is, does mom, which is why I asked our black mom first, but does mom explain about the cousin who wears dresses and is trans? Or is that we don't talk about that?
No, we talk about all things, you know, all things. But, you know, beyond that, I don't feel the need to say, okay, so this is your cousin Jimmy, and Jimmy used to be Sheila. You know what I mean? That's Sheila. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that deep. I mean, it's more so you are to respect all people, including their differences and their presentations. And, you know, so I have a good bunch of eggs because there's no, you know, separation. You are who you are. I mean, everything else is pretty much none of my business. My job is to respect you and include you and love you like I'd love anybody else. So that's what I teach my kids. That's what's going on in this village over here. There's not no funny name calling or anything like that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. How you doing? What's going on? And that's the end of it. There's no need to segregate it. We don't do that with other people. Okay, so this is the black girl with the blonde hair, and this is that one with that mole on the neck. That's not how we identify people. We don't break them down like that. That is whoever the hell it is. I don't know why it's hard to do that. It's a respect thing, an empathy thing, a compassion thing. You teach that at home. You plant those seeds early. So, you know, I feel like there's a failure there.
And you heard it here from Black Mother, the authority on black parenting of the Black Male Show. The shit may not be right anywhere else in the world, but it's right on the Black Male Show. And that's how we do it here. We stick together. And if you want to say what you want, feel free. Have your own fucking show. That is what we say. That is what we do. We are not FCC regulated, so don't complain about the curse, and we can say what we like. I think this is the perfect time to get into a song. But before we get into that song, you know, we always throw out a question for consideration. Two people who are just now having an intelligent conversation around things black and trans, I want you to meditate on and be prepared to answer Anarchy Monroe. Things that folks should not do or say when trying to show up for the trans community. What not to do when supporting the trans community. While you marinating on that, another song here on the Black Male Show. I think it's about time for some Jill Scott. This has been a Jill Scott moment.
Yeah.
Between his eyes, come on. So I'm gonna set you right, and I'm starting here tonight. Shine like the moon and strong like the sea. More expensive than money, more valuable than anything. Juicy mango summer. Make a lame man walk and a full man hungry. Well. And if you don't know what I'm saying, then baby, I'm telling you. There's power in them rolling hills. Come on. You're a prized possession. Not everybody's worthy. Only reason I know is I headed down that road. And it'd be a shame for you not to have your own glow. Come on. Well. Maybe don't recognize what you got between your eyes. So I'm gonna set you correct so you can get what you should get. Yeah. Intuition, something sweet. Let you know what you know, that you you know who should go and who you should let stay. And if you don't know what I'm saying, then baby, I'm telling you. Another Negro spiritual brought to you by Sanjili from Philly. Turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. There's power in the rolling hills. Oh, and if I'd have known what I knew about them rolling hills on today, my credit be different. Let me stop. That's a whole other show, y'all. Power and them rolling hills on the block. Look out for it. We are going to do it. Power and them rolling hills might have to be a series. From whatever book, Red, fuck around, find something in Revelation. We be concerned about the safety of our rolling hills and shit, fucking with Red. But we back.
I didn't even pull out no scripture. That's why I.
That was Jilly from Philly. And we're picking up where we left off. We are discussing what not to do or say. If you would like to show up for trans people, take it away, Miss Monroe.
I will say this. Do not ask somebody what their name used to be. Do not ask them what genitals are in between their legs. And do not ask them who they have sex with, because ain't none of those three things any of your motherfucking business.
Oh, my favorite.
Sorry. Did you get the surgery?
I'm just ashamed and embarrassed for these people. Like, who raised you? Why? Where are your minds?
So can we keep it real, though? Who raised you is a good question for someone who, if you are trans and you might be young and trans or older and trans and don't know how to respond to any of those things, who raised you is a hell of an answer. But if you don't want to go with who raised you, what do you say to your fellow trans brothers and sisters and those who live in the day realm?
How do they respond? What do you say to them for them to feel empowered and encouraged on today?
You want to know what I say?
When people ask them those kinds of questions, I say, it's none of your business. Are we fucking? Or we're not? So ain't nothing I'm doing any of your concern. Have a nice day.
Uh-huh. That's so nice.
And I always follow it up. How would you feel? I always say this to heterosexual dudes. How would you feel if some gay man that was not your type walked up to you and started asking you about your butthole?
If we get that bad, it's like that low.
Something to think about.
Yes, we had to.
My goodness gracious. People are really outside of their minds. Point blank period. I can't wrap my mind around the foolishness.
So in real life, let's say somebody is considering transitioning, and they aren't necessarily sure if they are or, you know, how they're going to move forward or any of that, right? What tips do you have for the young black prospective trans person? Some real talk.
I say don't do it if you're not sure about it. That's rule number one. Don't do nothing if you're not sure about it. You got to be informed, and you got to know what you're going to go through. And if you're not sure, you need to talk to a counselor. You need to talk to go online and do some research and understand what is involved and what it's going to take. Because no one prepared me. Like, I did my, when I started my whole journey of the understanding self, nobody forewarned me of the struggle. I was blessed to have a creator that gave me insight and told me, get ready because you get ready to go through hell. But I'll be with you always. But not everybody has that testimony. Counseling,
you better write a book.
With a counselor that understands trans issues.
Okay. So, while we're getting into trans issues, you are hosting the Capital T Show. And can you get into why you feel it's important for the Capital T Show to exist and why folks should tune in?
Because, one, that we need to understand that all communities are diverse and everybody is different, and that you should not try to minimize or marginalize us and try to say that one shoe fits all of us. And everybody's different. And so having the diversity of guests and hosts on this particular show that we have shows that we have a market and we have value and that we do exist and that we're here. And so we're not stuck in all these communities just as sex workers or just as shadows, and that there is more than just Laverne Cox and T.S. whatever. You know, we all exist.
Hey, now. We have got 10 minutes left on the show. And before we even get into another song, ask for your final thought. How can people stay connected with you?
You can always hit me up. You can just Google me, Anarchy Monroe. I'm on Twitter at Anarchy Monroe, Instagram, The Real Anarchy Monroe. I have a fan page on Facebook at Anarchy Angel Monroe TV, YouTube, Key Monroe. Those are the greatest ways to get a hold of me at any point in time.
And also on the Capital T Show.
Oh, yeah.
The day and time that they can check you out?
Tuesday at 8 p.m. West Coast time.
8 p.m. West Coast time. That's beautiful. Yo, I want to thank you for being on, and I wanted to ask you, like, we're stepping back, giving you the floor. If nobody heard shit you had to say today, what is the one thing you need for them to hear?
That interpersonal relationships matter most. In any phase of your life that you are going through struggles, whether it's with your identity, sexuality, your purpose, or just as a person or a human being, it is important that we have interpersonal relationships that show us that we are valued and we are loved for who and what we are.
That's real deep. I want to thank you for taking the time to bring your full and present self to this show. I really hope that those individuals who have had the opportunity to tune in to us on this evening have really heard, if only a piece of your truth, they were touched and affected by that. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the lives that have been lost in the transgender community, and to let it be said that y'all will never, ever know how loved you truly are to so many of the allies and supporters of the trans community. To those heterosexual men who love trans women, reconcile that and understand that in a world full of progress, you can be yourself regardless who and what you love and how you love. Check out the Capital T Show, y'all. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. West Coast time. Love it or leave it alone. This is the Blackmail Show. And we hope you got the message. We're going to close out with Frank Ocean, because who does not love him?
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Oh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you?
Or do you not think so far?
I just thought you were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute. That's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it. Though I'm lying down thinking about you. Oh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you?
Or do you not think so far?
Turns from color to black and white.